Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making a hot pan style air horn hit arrangement in Ableton Live 12, but not as a cheesy one-off effect. We're building it like a proper jungle and old-school DNB weapon. Something that punches to a floor-shaking low end, triggers that reload energy, and still leaves the sub and kick completely in control. The big idea here is simple. The horn is not the main event to every bar. It's punctuation. It's a call, a response, a tension marker, a hype signal. In a heavy DNB track, that matters because the low end has to stay clean. The drums need transient clarity, and the horn needs to sit in the midrange without turning into a muddy roar. If you place it well, it feels massive. If you overuse it, it just gets annoying. So let's set up a clean workflow first. Create a group track called Horns and FX. Keep it separate from drums and bass so you can process and automate it as a unit. Inside that group, make at least two tracks, Horn Main and Horn Support or Choke. If you're using a sample, drop the air horn in as auto. If you want to synthesize something similar, you can use Operator or Waveitable, but for this style, a sample-based horn is usually the quickest and most authentic route. On the main horn track, start with EQ8, Saturator, Compressor or Glue Compressor, and Utility. Right away, high pass the horn somewhere around 180 to 250 Hz. That keeps it out of the kick and sub lane, which is absolutely essential in DNB. Then add a bit of saturation, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive, just enough to give it body and edge. If the horn is too wide or facey, use Utility and narrow the width down to somewhere between 0 and 30%. And if the transient is too wild, compress lightly, just a few dB of gain reduction, nothing that flattens the life out of it. Now shape the sample itself. Open the clip, trim it so the attack is immediate, and keep the tail under control. For jungle and old school pressure, you usually want a short, aggressive stab, not a long novelty blast. If the timing needs help, warp it only if necessary. For short hits, you can often leave warp off or use beats mode for a cleaner feel. If the sample has too much ring or tail, shorten it right in the waveform editor. A really useful move here is to make a few versions of the same horn. Make one full hit, one short hit, and one pitch down hit. That pitch down version can be as little as -3 semitones or as much as -7 semitones depending on the vibe you want. That gives you variation without losing the identity of the sound. Think of it as building a little horn system instead of just dragging in one sample and repeating it forever. Now let's polish the tone. In EQ8, if the horn feels harsh, make a narrow cut somewhere around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. If it's a bit dull, a small boost around 700 Hz to 1.2 kHz can help it speak. If there's too much hiss, gently pull back the top end around 8 to 12 kHz. Then use Saturator to add some grit and presence. The point is not to make it louder in a simplistic way. The point is to help it cut through a dense drum and bass arrangement without fighting the sub. And that's the key mindset here. We are arranging for impact, not just designing a loud sound. Next, think in phrases, not random grid placements. DNB lives in 4-bar and 8-bar movement. So place the horn where the arrangement changes energy. Put it at the end of a 4-bar cycle. Put it just before a downbeat. Put it after a bass dropout. Put it right before a snare fill or as a response to one. If your track is around 174 BPM, a nice structure might be a filtered intro for 16 bars, then a drop where the horn appears at bar endings, pickup moments, and phrase transitions. This is where the horn starts feeling musical instead of decorative. A horn every bar becomes cartoonish. A horn that shows up after space feels like a proper reload moment. That absence is important. Leave gaps. Let the crowd hear that something is missing, then hit them with the next horn and it lands twice as hard. Now build the call and response with the bassline. You can use Operator for a solid sub, Waveitable for a moving reese, or Analog if you want something rough and simple. The main thing is to separate the low end into a clean mono sub layer and a more animated mid-bass layer. Keep the sub under about 100 Hz and mono with Utility. Let the reese or mid-bass live higher, high passed above roughly 80 to 120 Hz, and check mono compatibility so it doesn't fall apart on a club system. Then arrange the horn as a reply. Let the bass phrase ask the question, then answer it with the horn. Maybe the horn hits at the end of bar 4, the bass comes back in bar 5 with a new pattern, then the horn answers again at bar 8, but shorter. Maybe on bar 12 you drop a bass note so the horn lands harder. You can even create tiny dropouts in the sub, just a 1/8 or 1/4 note of space before the hit. That little gap can make the horn feel much heavier than just turning it up. A lot of advanced jungle arrangement is really about this kind of dialogue. The horn and bass are part of the same conversation. Now let's make it evolve across the tune. Repetition is dangerous if everything stays identical. Use automation to keep the horn alive. Automate an auto filter cutoff on the horn group. Automate saturator drive. Automate utility width. Automate reverb send or delay throw for special moments. For example, the first horn hit can be dry and direct. The next one can open up slightly, with a bit more brightness. Another one can be a little more saturated and narrower. Then for a transition, maybe you throw it into a short reverb or a filter delay. A great move in darker DNB is to low pass the horn in the bar before the drop, then open it sharply on impact, like it's coming out of the fog. That creates real tension. You can do the same thing with a high pass if you want the horn to thin out before a reveal. Use the filter movement as part of the arrangement story. And remember, the horn has to live with the kick and sub, not on top of them like a bully. If the hit clashes with the drum transient, use sidechain compression from the kick or a drum bus. You usually only need a few dB of reduction. Attack can be fairly quick. Release somewhere in the 40 to 120 ms range depending on how the groove breathes. If the horn still feels too forward, pull it back a couple dB with utility or clean up any low mid buildup with a Q8. Also watch the transient stack when the horn lands near a snare. Sometimes a tiny timing nudge of just a few milliseconds can make the difference between a punchy hit and a cluttered mess. This is one of those details that separates a rough idea from a record that actually hits. Here's a really strong advanced workflow move. Resample the horn. Once your processing chain is doing the right thing, create a new audio track called Horn Print and record the processed horn output. Print a few versions if you can, especially with different automation moves. Once it's printed, chop it like a break. Reverse one tail into a snare fill. Slice the first 100 to 200 milliseconds and use it as a micro stab. Duplicate a hit and offset it by a 1/16 for a stutter. Use the tail as transition noise into the next 8-bar block. This is where the horn stops being just a sample and becomes part of the arrangement language. In jungle and old-school DNB, that kind of resampling and chopping feels right at home. It's not just an effect. It becomes percussion, punctuation, and scene change. Now a few mix and workflow reminders. Keep your horns color-coded and named by function so you can move fast. Horn lead, horn tail, horn stab print, horn reverse FX. That sounds basic, but when you start chopping versions and printing edits, it saves a ton of time. Also, don't overfill the mid-range. If your bass already has a lot happening between 300 Hz and 2K Hz, carve the horn to fit around that space instead of trying to overpower it. A better arrangement often sounds more aggressive than a louder one. Always check the horn in mono. If it disappears, gets facey, or suddenly feels too thin, fix that before you move on. And while you're writing, keep your master headroom healthy, around -6 dB peak if possible, so you have room to move later. For a quick practice approach, build a 4-bar call and response loop. Create 3 horn versions, full, short, and pitch down. Put them in a group with EQ, saturation, compression, and utility. Write a simple 174 BPM drum loop with a break and kick snare backbone. Add a sub and a res or mid-bass phrase. Then place horn hits only at the end of bar 2, the pickup into bar 3, and the end of bar 4. Automate one of those hits with a short filter open and a tiny reverb send. Resample the result. Slice one printed horn into a couple of micro edits. Check mono. Trim anything that fights the kick or sub. If that loop feels like a real drop section, you're doing it right. So the takeaway is this. In jungle and old school DNB, the horn works best when it feels like part of the tune structure. Treat it like a phrase element. Keep it above the low end. Place it with intention. Let the bass and drums create the space around it. Then resample and chop it if you want even more character and speed in your workflow. When the arrangement is right, the horn doesn't just sit on top of the track. It becomes the signal that something big is happening. That's the energy. That's the reload moment. And that's how you make a simple air horn hit feel like a floor-shaking part of the record.